Today's scripture is from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The word of God for the people of God.
My name is Yun.
My name is Mina.
My name is Danielle.
My name is Zerish.
My name is Ghani.
My name is Steve. Sometimes people call me Steven. My parents didn't name me after anybody in particular in our family. I think they just liked the name. Some in my family call me Dad or Uncle. I have a couple of sisters who still call me Stevie. Not my favorite name.
I wanted a new name because while growing up, I used the name Jennifer Kim. And that was a really popular name. And so one day I told the Lord, I said, "God, I want a new name. You're going to give me a new name." And so I was on my bed, and long story short, he gave me a new name, and I heard an audible voice of God say Isaiah twice. And no, I did not want it, but Isaiah means the Lord saves. And I knew that I had a calling in ministry. And so I said, "Okay, Lord, I surrender. I'll take it."
Dong means, in Chinese, it means east. People call me Xue Dong in Chinese and Dong Su in America.
My name means God is my judge. I love my name. I think it fits me.
What's in a name?
My name is Yun.
What's in a name? They're trying to get back. What's in a name? I think a lot's in a name, and we've been talking about the names of Jesus in this time of Lent. You've received a book that looks like this. I hope you've brought that with you so you can take some notes if you're in a small group. We've talked about Jesus' name. What does the name Jesus mean? We've talked about Jesus as friend. Today, we talk about Jesus as teacher. What's in a name? And the answer is quite a bit. And I would invite you to turn to page 15 in the book. If you are taking notes, that's where we are on this Sunday. If you didn't bring it and you want to take some notes, you can use your phone, your mobile device, whatever that is, and you can take pictures of the screen that'll come up, and that might assist you in the study and the thinking. Each week on Thursday, when I send out my e-note, I will talk about this word, whatever word it is that week, I'll talk about that word with a biblical scholar, Dr. Laura Holmes at Wesley Theological Seminary. And Dr. Holmes and I have about a 20-minute conversation. And so I hope that's helpful to you as well. We try to do that on Thursday because we thought it might reintroduce the theme to your thinking and help you continue in the experience. Hey, is anybody else having a just quite a spring allergy season? Anybody else just really? Yeah, aren't we all feeling it? So how about this? If you can trust that I am fully tested, but if I cough today, just know I'm one of those allergy sufferers as well, and I want to say that before I begin speaking and put that out there. That may relieve you too if you're one of those people. So I wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me and with me as we begin. Dear God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the ability to think of you in your many names. Friend, teacher, way, presence, Savior, Lord. As we walk in this six-week journey to Easter, help us, Lord, to see you for all that you are, that you might be for us the God of all. Bless us in this day that we might think of you and as we think of you as teacher, think of how then that might affect our discipleship and who we are. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's been my experience that great teachers change everything. Great teachers. Can you think of a name of a great teacher that you had? Can you think of a name of a great teacher? Anybody, does the name come to mind? Raise your hand if a name immediately comes to mind. Look at the number of hands that are in the air. By the way, if you're an educator, please look at the number of hands that are in the air. What this should indicate to you is what you do is super important. Megan, something back here is doing that. And I wonder if it's the iPad or that's on there. You investigate that. Pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain. Yeah, Mr. Porterfield, when I went to high school, we had this really unusual opportunity when I went to high school. There was a class in a public high school on humanities. And Mr. Porterfield walked us through basically the history of civilization. We saw art we would have never seen. We heard music we would have never heard. And it was his expectation not that we would learn this composer with this piece of art with this artist, this piece of history with this civilization. It was his understanding that we would experience it. And he experienced it with us. And we sat in that class and listened to music. And we went from, I remember one time he put some pieces of what we would call modern art up on the screen. And we were looking at this modern art. And we went from, that is so dumb. Like what? To, only a few days later, that is so interesting. Teachers are transformational. They change how we think. They change how we see the world. They change what we notice and what we don't notice. They change whether we judge or have inquiry. Whether we just assume we know everything or want to know just a little more. Teachers are transformational. So here's my first question for you. My first question is, what are the qualities of good teachers? Share a quality of a great teacher. Would you just, if you're online, would you put that in the chat box? If you are here in the sanctuary, would you just raise your hand and call them out? You may want to write these down in that little notebook that you were given. Some qualities of a great teacher, yes. Teachers ask good questions. By the way, when you call them out, be really loud. Yes, Renee?
They create deep relationships.
They build relationships. Patient. Yeah, they're patient in learning, aren't they? They're patient. Yes.
They're always learning.
They're always learning. The teachers are learning themselves. You have one. They instill confidence. These are all qualities of great teachers. Bob, do you have some from online?
Passionate, curious, engaging, encouraging, challenges you, a good listener. Yeah, lots online. There's a lot of good chat.
Yeah, so great teachers have these qualities, and great teachers, I'm sure, don't start that way. I'm sure they become that way over time. The first-year teacher is probably not going to be the greatest teacher in the school, even though he or she may be a really solid, good teacher, but they become more. But here's the question, are we great students? I mean, I know when I was going to school when I was a kid, I would sometimes tell my mom, it seemed very reasonable, I would say, Mom, I'm not going to school today. And she'd say, why not? And I'd say, I just don't feel like going to school. It turns out Nancy Berlin had no patience with that business whatsoever. She'd say, you what? And I said, I don't feel like going to school. I thought if I put the emphasis on both feel and school, it would be even better. I don't feel like going to school. And she'd say, you just put your clothes on. You just get yourself down here, and if you miss that bus, you're going to have more problems than you know. Go. She didn't care. I mean, truly, I just want you to know, she didn't care how I felt. This was shocking to me. My own loving mother didn't care. No. Why? She expected me to show up as a good what? Student. Because you know what? You can have the best teacher in the world, but if the student doesn't show up ready to be open to learning, that jams up the teaching process. Well, as I said, teachers are transformational, and what often happened to me is that by the time I got to school, sure enough, my mother being right in such matters, what she knew is there would be a teacher in the building who was going to make that day different. There was going to be a teacher who when I walked into math class thinking, I've got nothing I want to learn here, suddenly I would get engaged in math. There was going to be an English teacher that would open up a piece of literature to me that I just had no understanding how impactful that would later be in my life. And it might be a piece of literature I'd remember, listen to this, for the rest of my life. There would be a physics teacher who would gently and carefully open up literally a universe to me. There would be teacher after teacher, and I was very blessed. I had good and great teachers. Now, I had a few that were less good and less great, but you know, in every life, a little rain must fall. But the vast majority of teachers that I had in every level of education were these very solid people, and they transformed me from the intellectual weakling who didn't feel like going to school to a kid who came home and said, Mom, I need to go to the library to study to get some information. Boys and girls, in the olden days, there was a building called the library. And it had books. This is how we got strong, is we had to lift books. And the books were like a web page. One web page per book, essentially. That was what we had. No, but you get the idea. But honestly, I can remember as a kid coming home telling my mom, I've got to go to the library. I went from that morning, I don't feel like it that afternoon, to I've got to go to the library. That's what a great teacher does. Is that moment. See, it's not just that I was interested in that topic. It was that I was interested in learning. You've had teachers like this. We all have. The majority of the hands went up. When I said, can you immediately think of a great teacher? The majority of hands went up, if not all. I'll tell you the name of another great teacher in my life and maybe in yours. His name is Jesus. Transformational teacher. When I hear Jesus teaching, even at this age, having heard so much of Jesus' teaching, having read all of it, I can tell you I still want to learn more. I'm still intrigued. I still wonder if I'll ever do the things he did with the level of competency that he had. I love the logic of his lessons. I love the impact of his instruction. Jesus is a great teacher. And friends, I've been asking you on multiple occasions over the past year to read the Gospels, to just go home and open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, open them up and just begin to read and receive Jesus' instruction. And especially those of you who have read it all before, I've asked you to just slow down, maybe a couple of chapters a day, maybe thinking a little bit more carefully, as you can find in the study guide and in the resources online, ways to do that. Jesus teaches us in at least four ways. He tells us great lessons. So read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, or the Sermon on the Plain, the Gospel of Luke. Read the parables, the answers that he offers to questions posed to him by religious authorities. Jesus teaches by lessons. But he also gives us challenges. Challenges. Hey, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. And some of it is really challenging. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see what he just did? He took us from this zone over here into a whole new world, where the only way we're going to do what he said is to transform. That's what I said. Teachers are what? Teachers are what? Transformational. If you're at home, same for you. Teachers are transformational. See, he's asking us, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, and notice how many times in his teaching he does that. You know why my job's hard? Everybody's got a hard job. So do I. You know why my job's hard? I actually am asking people to change their lives. And that's not because of me, that's because of him. Because that's what Jesus does. And if I'm going to be a preacher in that tradition, if I'm going to be a pastor in that tradition, it's about transforming your life. It's about learning to love. It's about learning to give up hate. It's about learning forgiveness. It's about shedding guilt. It's transformational what he's asking us to do. to care for the weak and the vulnerable. And so Jesus does this with his lessons. He does it with his challenges, but he also does it with his example. There was nothing that Jesus asked his disciples to do that he didn't do himself. He took them when he healed people with leprosy. He stopped and listened to the questions that were asked by the crowd. When then he would sometimes go and seek things out. He sought out the man in Gerizim who was mentally ill, and they said, possessed by demons. He went to the places. He was the example. The patience, sometimes the times where he set boundaries with his disciples. His example. And then the experiences. Jesus loved giving his disciples experiences. Remember that time they all went to the Samaritan village and they were, and you know they were thinking, they were like, Jesus, not a Samaritan village. These people, the Assyrians took them over years ago. They're terrible people. Nobody talks to the Assyrians. He's like, let's stop in the village, shall we? He meets a woman at a well. He begins to talk to him. The disciples have to go off and run an errand. They come back. He's in a full-blown conversation. And she leaves and comes back. And pretty soon the village comes out and goes, hey, why don't you guys spend the night with us? And you know what they're all thinking? They're thinking, spend the night in the home of Samaritans? Not our culture, not our language, not our ethnicity. And Jesus goes, we'd love to. Hey, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're like, how the heck did I get here? Trust me, Jesus was probably around. He is very sneaky this way. He loves to put us into situations with people that we don't think we're going to work with well or resonate well. I mean, when you get a new neighbor who moves in and you look over at that neighbor and you think, I don't know if this is going to go well, you can trust me, Jesus got them to move there. Why? So you can be in community with them. So that you can meet somebody that's not like you, that doesn't think like you, possibly doesn't even look like you. Why? Because neighbors have to eventually just be for each other. Jesus loved to teach by these experiences, and that's what he's doing this morning. This morning, he's dropped them into another one of these experiences that they're not going to like. Jesus will give you experiences of discomfort. And the lesson that he's teaching this morning in the reading that you just heard, it runs against the grain of everyone's identity. And Peter, who's often so outspoken, he names it. He's sort of the village spokesman. And here's the text. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, he's washing their feet. So let me set this up. It's the Passover festival. Annually, they do this to remember the great Passover when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they relive and re-experience and all that. And before the Passover meal, they're all in their chairs and Jesus, well, let's do it up here. Jesus is behind the table and he goes, hey, before we start, I'm going to just wash your feet before the meal. There should have been a servant doing this. And Jesus becomes the servant. The teacher begins to kneel and wash the feet of each of the students. The master begins to kneel and wash the feet of each of the servants. Jesus is on his knees. And he gets to Peter, and Peter's like, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you're going to understand later. And what's Peter say? Come on, it's right here. What's Peter say? He says, no. Teachers are transformational, but students have to be humble enough to learn. Nothing will stop education and transformation faster than one word. No. No, I'm not that student, says Peter. No. No, you will what? Never wash my feet. You're never going to be in a position where you serve me. You're never going to change roles on me. But what's Jesus doing right now? He's creating the experience of discomfort. So sometimes in your life, if you're wondering, is God around? Is God with me? Here's one way you'll know. You're going to get into an uncomfortable situation that the Lord's going to put you in. And the discomfort often leads us to want to say, no. I want to get away from discomfort. I don't like discomfort. But if you can just sit in it, it's transformational. Well, Peter pushes this off, and you can see what's happening in all this. And then Jesus turns to Peter and says, hey, unless I wash you, Peter, unless I wash you, you'll have no place with me. And then Peter realizes that's a hard boundary. Now, this is the other thing that teachers are really good at. Teachers are great at drawing hard boundaries and saying, you know what, here's the deal. Here's what I do, here's what you do, here's the deal. And that's what Jesus does. And Simon Peter says, Lord, then, not only my, what? Feet, but my hands and my head also. Because Peter knows he is such a great teacher, there's no way he's getting kicked out of this classroom. Peter understands the power that Jesus had with people, the power he was having in Peter's own life, which we see in the book of Acts. But here's the lesson, friends. Only a humble student can be transformed. Only a humble student can be transformed. Peter has enough humility in this moment to say, I want to stay in this experience. My question for you and for me this week is this. Do we have that level of humility with Jesus? I mean, I there's a lot of Jesus celebration. Jesus is a great teacher. Jesus is this. Jesus is that. And I get it. And I'm so happy. Everybody seems so happy with Jesus. But Jesus wasn't asking to be celebrated. He was trying to change our lives. And as I look around the world, it doesn't feel to me, people who think that this is a Christian culture, my golly, where are you living? Because I need to move to your neighborhood. Transformation is what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to help people love and forgive and be strong and be courageous and not always drop to the lowest common denominator of speech, the lowest common denominator of how harshly I can think about somebody else or what I'm going to say ugly about somebody else. Jesus is trying to help us open our minds and learn and think about larger things and to see beauty and goodness. And he's got these great lessons, and he puts us in experiences, and he gives us challenges. He does all of these things. But it takes humility to accept Jesus' lessons that we must forgive others, and we have to accept forgiveness ourselves. It takes humility to love our neighbor, and pride leads us to believe, I know more than my teacher, I know more than Jesus, and so no, Jesus, you can't wash my feet, and no, Jesus, I'm going to do this. But Peter teaches us this line, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head also. In other words, what would happen if we would be all in on Jesus' teaching? What would happen if I would be as committed a student as Jesus was a teacher? Some of you are teachers right now, and I bet you're thinking about your classrooms. You're like, yeah, what would happen if all those kids would show up as prepared as I was? Seriously, what would happen if every student would show up as prepared as the teacher? We'd have learning environments that would be transformational. But so often, we as students think we can just slough into the classroom with Jesus. While he's done all his work, we've done none of our own. And so we have this openness that Peter shows us. Peter chooses the humility to learn in that moment. And then Jesus, after he washes his disciples' feet, he puts the robes on, he returns to the table, and he returns to the table, and he says to them, I'm sorry if this is, you're being blocked over here, but this is okay. He says, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and master, and that is what I am. And if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then you also shall wash each other's feet. I've given you this example. Just as I have done, you also must do. Oh my goodness, do you see what he's doing? He's commissioning you. He's saying, look, I'm not putting on a show up here. I'm not just giving you an example so that later you can go, gosh, and wasn't Jesus so good to wash our feet? Wasn't that humble of him? That's not the point at all. He's saying, hey, you all, you do. Jesus, I do. We do. You do. You're going to be a community of people who show love and servanthood and love and goodness expressed in tangible ways. That's what you're going to do. And now the 12, I think, are looking at Jesus and they're thinking, man, this thing just went from bad to worse. I mean, it was hard when he washed our feet, but now he's telling us we're going to be foot washers. And then Jesus says this verse, since you know these things, you will be happy if what? If you do them. Because friends, we all want to be learners, but you only become a learner so that you can start to do. A couple weeks ago, Renee Gorman's organization, She Believes in Me. Renee, put your hand up. Thank you for doing that unannounced and for working with me that way. She calls on me sometimes too, so I don't mind. So She Believes in Me. Many in the church have worked with that organization over the past couple of years, and it's part of our partnership with Hutchinson Elementary. A lot of our volunteers are connected to that. It's just been very, it's been a synergistic relationship for our church. And they had a banquet, not a banquet, they had a luncheon. They had a luncheon the other day, and we walked around the facility, those of us who were there, and saw what they were doing, heard the story of what was happening with food distribution to families connected to Hutchinson Elementary. And then they had three students from the elementary school who spoke about their experience with She Believes Me. One was about this tall and was about the cutest child I've ever seen in my entire life. She was amazing, little girl, and one of our church members was with her, and rather than making this very small child come up with a speech when she's like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, you know, questions were asked, and she responded, and she just talked about what it meant to come to some of the programs, and then a girl who was probably at the upper end of the elementary school, she's pretty tall, so I'm assuming that was true, she gave this wonderful speech about the self-esteem she had learned and the things that she had discovered coming to programs at She Believes Me and the relationships she had developed with volunteers. And then there was a young man who came up, and he talked about a Monday program that he comes to after school and how the Herndon police come in. And the Herndon police come in and show them their motorcycles and talk to them about what a police officer does and when should you ask for help from a police officer and what would happen if you did. And he said, I didn't know any of these things. He said, I feel different now. But here's what was really caught my attention is that each one of these students, when they came to their, and by the way, these were talks they crafted. These were not handed to them. Each student, when they said something to the equivalent of, and when the volunteer came with food to my door, each child emotionally had to stop because they were in tears. And you know, we think kids don't know anything that's going on in our homes, right? We think, oh yeah, we've kept the pressure from them. We've kept the pressure of food scarcity from them. They don't know. Trust me, each one of these kids signaled emotionally, we know. And then the food showed up. And you all, the money you've given and the food you do, these backpack meals, it matters. It takes pressure off. And the point is that I was watching the three children and I was watching the adults who were with them, many of whom were members of our church, not all, but many. And I'm watching them and I'm asking myself this question, whose life's being transformed? Whose life? The child's? The adult's? When we become people who just humbly follow the teaching of Jesus, everybody's life's transformed. Everybody's life. Jesus is a teacher. The question is, are we students? Are we humble learners? Happy are you, he said, if you do these things. Because here's the deal. If you are teachable, if you are teachable, then you are transformational. if you have the humility to start doing the things that Jesus asks, not just learning. And friends, Christianity is not a religion of piling more facts about God into your brain. It's a religion about learning the ways of God so that you live them out at home, at work, in your community, and you change and the community change and everything changes to the glory of God. That's what Christianity is. And we've made a mistake. Sometimes we're like, the more facts, if I can just learn to say Jehoshaphat correctly, you know, then the gates of heaven will open. And, you know, the Assyrian Empire, you know, came to the northern kingdom in 722 BC. Oh, there it is. None of that matters if I'm not a more loving person, if I'm not a more gracious person, if I'm not loving the people around me and seeing the needs of the community and actually caring. That's what makes all the difference. So this week, I've got a couple of questions, if you'd put them up on the screen. Where am I doing these things I know Jesus asked us to do? You might take a picture of this screen. Where am I doing these things that I know Jesus is asking us to do? In living out my faith. Number two, when do I resist the teachings of Jesus? By the way, if you want to know where Jesus is most trying to get your attention, ask yourself this question: where do I resist it the most? If every time somebody says, "Would you forgive me?" I say no, Jesus is going to put me in some really awkward situations around that. The experiences are coming. Number three, what would I do differently if I became a humble student taught by Jesus? Three questions. Think about them this week. Take them to your small group. Meditate them in your personal and private life. Jesus is what? What's our word for the week? Teacher, begging the question, am I the humble student? Amen.